Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Maybe, just maybe, we will only have to hear this song a few more times, but let's hope we have to hear it through the end of the week. And we go to Beantown right now. That's where Chris Raby is this afternoon. You have to call me Mock. You can't call me, you know, Mark. You have to say Mock. Did you park?
Yes, and,
did you park the car?
Yeah. You know, my mother, who's from Boston, would tell you that not all people from Boston sound like that.
Well, my uncle, who lives out there, sounded like that. But yeah, of course, they don't all sound like. But look at Wahlberg and Affleck. You know, they can go back into their Southie accents. I kind of like it.
There you go. Yeah, that's a successful recipe.
So what's going on? How are you?
Good, man. At the rink right now, actually standing out a couple of rows off the ice at TD Garden. The Blues wrapped up practice about an hour or two ago, went through their media obligations, then got on a bus to head back to their team hotel, the final practice before game 7 tomorrow night. So a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz, and I guess just more of the same for this Blues team. It's been remarkably consistent on a day in and day out basis, you know, leading up to this point.
I can't imagine that their confidence level is shaken at all. I mean, they kind of got it handed to them the other night, but they know, and I saw Tom Ackerman tweeted something just about the remarkable record they have after losing in these postseason games. They come back and they win the next game.
Yeah, and on the road as well. They've been really, really good at bouncing back. And I actually was trying to dig into some of the numbers as to why that is, Mark. And, you know, it's as simple as Jordan Binnington is really good in most situations, but especially in games after losses and on the road. And the Blues end up seeing their scoring go up a tick. I think a lot of it has to do with discipline, focus, and adjustments. When they stay 5-on-5, especially after losses, or they stay 5-on-5 on the road, that's when they have the most success. So, you know, I'm not sure there's, you know, a secret recipe or, you know, one reason why this team has been so good in some of the most difficult situations. But, you know, especially on the road this postseason, 9-3. Jordan Binnington can become the sixth goaltender in NHL history tomorrow to win 10 road games if, you know, he's able to lead the Blues to a win tomorrow. And that's pretty incredible. You didn't lose on the road in round one against Winnipeg. You lost once against Dallas on the road. You lost once in San Jose. And you've lost once here in Boston. So, you know, they just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And one more crack to back it up again tomorrow.
9-3 and then 5-0 following a loss, which, you know, look, I don't know if anything, you can just break down those numbers and be hopeful. They got to just play their game. What are the players saying, though? You know, the one thing I think is confounding the fans, probably the players, is just the lack of production on the power play. And, you know, we talked about a little bit yesterday with Chris Gerber. There's not going to be any kind of magic that will be infused between now and when the puck drops tomorrow night. You just got to keep playing your game. But it's a little baffling, isn't it?
It is, and I do think there was maybe some reason for optimism in Game 6, obviously the loss, and you weren't able to cash in on four power play opportunities in the first two periods. And, you know, I think that game ended 5-1. A lot of people may not remember how close it was. It was a 1-0 game. The Blues unsuccessful on four power plays through two periods, but they had 12 shots on the advantage and were getting some better looks. I think more than anything, it's maybe a bit unlucky that on the night that their power play has maybe generated the most opportunity in this series, Tuukka Rask was just unbelievable. So, you know, I think that there were some signs on Sunday night in St. Louis, but, you know, it might not be that pretty goal. It might not be the wrist shot, you know, from the circle or Colton Parayko or Vladimir Tarasenko. It might just be as simple as, you know, what the Bruins have done, and that's just bang the puck at the net and try to slap one in past Rask, because he's been so good that, you know, I'm not sure you're going to just beat him one-on-one. So we'll see tomorrow night. Generally, game sevens, I think, are officiated maybe a little bit differently, and maybe you don't see as many penalties and as many power play opportunities, and I'm sure the Blues would be fine with that as well. They'd be fine keeping this thing 5-on-5 because that's really where they've excelled.
And I know that the players probably like the extra day because of the travel, but do you have any sense of what they do here? Because I heard Craig Berube say yesterday, I think it was him, he said, look, let's put off on the texting friends and all that until Thursday, stay focused on the game. But it's got to be boring just to be in hotel rooms.
Well, they spend a lot of time together. And
dinners
after getting
and things
in,
like that.
Yeah, and after getting in yesterday, you know, go to dinner, hang out, practice today. They're at the rink most of the day today. They have a hospitality suite, you know, a big suite in the hotel where they'll have, you know, cards and I guess maybe video games and, you know, any snack or, you know,
things like that,
nutrition.
Yeah. We have one
or,
of those rooms here at Cam Wex, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. Or protein shake or whatever you need. And guys spend a lot of time in there. And, you know, I do think that when we hear, all right, don't text, or, you know, Bruce Cassidy said the other day, you're going to have a lot of new friends, you got to turn the phone off.
Oh,
these guys
him.
Are still very
Cassidy,
connected.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
I said Craig Berube,
they're,
yeah,
they're still very connected to their families and their close friends, because this is an experience for a lot of people. And I think hockey, not to say the other sports aren't, but it's such a family-driven sport, because I think all these guys recognize and appreciate what their families have done to help get them here. It seems like that's always one of the first things that these guys say, right? Like, thanks for driving me to the rink early mornings and stuff. So they're still connected with what's going on. A lot of them have friends and family that'll be here in Boston and have been here throughout the playoffs. But, you know, they spend a lot of time together. And maybe that's another reason why they've been so good on the road. It's such a close team. They've played so many road games since the calendar flipped to 2019. And really, after the All-Star break, when they just had that incredible, almost ridiculous stretch of games away from St. Louis. So, you know, they find plenty of ways to pass the time. Tomorrow will be practice and then a lunch and then a nap and then back to the rink. And, you know, I certainly don't have a lot of free time, but if you have any suggestions, I'll take them.
I've only been to Boston one time in my life, and it was almost like 20
what
years
a city.
Ago. Yeah, I've wanted to get back. I always want to go to New England in the fall. I think that would be cool. What are you doing? What are you doing to kill the time? Outside of working,
well,
obviously working.
I've been at practice.
Yes.
Got in this morning. I've been hanging out at the rink, but I love this city. As I said at the start of the interview, my mom is from here, and she still has a lot of family here, 3 brothers and a sister here. So I've got, you know, a lot of family. I won't really have time to see anybody now, but I just love walking around the city. If people haven't been here, it's just such an incredible city. And to walk literally where, you know, the founders of this country walked and went about their business and just laid the foundation of what the United States is. It's almost mind-blowing at times. But, you know, I'm staying in Kenmore Square, which is right across the street from Fenway Park and in the neighborhood where Boston University is, at Emmanuel College, where my mom went to undergrad. And it just seems like every block of this city, there's history and there's architecture and there's something significant everywhere you look. In my case, it's the Green Monster out of my hotel yeah. room window. But no, it's a great city. I know that a lot of their sports success has come over the last 2 decades at the expense of the city of St. Louis. But I think it's one of the great sports cities in the world. And for the Blues to be a part of the first Game 7 that the Bruins have ever hosted in Boston in the Stanley Cup Final in their 95-year franchise
right.
history, that's pretty cool. So the Blues are hopefully a part of multiple pieces of history tomorrow night.
Faneuil Hall, it's like a historic
yeah,
shopping
sure.
place. And what I remember, and I brought this up the other day, is you when I was there, you go out there and you can have a conversation with Ben Franklin. You have people that are dressed up in colonial garb, and they're actually giving you some history lessons. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, I just think of the Ben Franklin from The Office episode.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, you don't want to learn too much on a trip like this. That would kind of spoil it, right?
But I'll take the historical figures as opposed to the guy in Times Square who's like the Statue of Liberty who doesn't move for 15 minutes, then, you know, flinches at you and I, you know, jump out of my shoes.
On a separate but related sports note, and I'll just offer up this contingency here. I might give a spoiler out, so if you don't want to know what's happening in the World Cup game, turn the radio down for 30 seconds. But have you seen it here? It's a nail. It's a nail biter.
Not. What's
it,
going on?
Let's just put it this way: the USA has scored more goals than the Cardinals have runs in the entire month of May. I think it's a touchdown. It's a touchdown to nothing right now against Tyler.
There you go. See, they got a great send off in St. Louis at Busch Stadium.
I like it. All right, Raby, we'll talk to you during Total Information PM. How does that sound?
Hey, it sounds great, Mark, and a big thanks. Our coverage from TD Garden is presented by Missouri Lottery. Play it forward. I'm Chris Raby for your Game 7 coverage on KMOX.
All right, thank you, Chris. 316. I said at the beginning of the show, I went out and saw my buddy Kenny Wallace, race car guru, and I asked Kenny for a favor because I'm a big brother and big brothers, big sisters. I have a little brother named Cameron. I've known him for a couple of years now. I've tried to get him out doing some things that he wouldn't have the opportunity to do. We're going to gear him up for a youth deer hunt this year. But I thought of Kenny. I said, I got to get Cameron over. And I had never seen his racing shop. And he was nice enough to host us. And I grabbed my iPhone. It's so funny because in the newsroom will tell you this. Used to be you have these Marantz tape recorders and a microphone. You go out there, you get top quality sound. I have an app on my iPhone, and the quality is amazing. So I sat down with Kenny. We had a chat. We talked about the Blues, too, and that's coming up next.
Butler service, butler service, butler service, butler service. Just for you! Caviar, 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 caviar on golden spoons! Eiffel Tower, Eiffel Tower, Eiffel Tower, chocolate blue!
That's the sound of the luxury train adventure you could win from the Missouri Lottery's Happy Rails promotion. Enjoy the finer side of the tracks as you journey to incredible locations like Venice to Paris, the Rocky Mountains, or Ireland. Enter at MoLottery.com.
Choo-choo!
Play responsibly.
Coming up Wednesday morning on Total Information AM.
I'm Emily Killeen.
And I'm her proud dad. We'll
no,
see you next time.
Don't say I'm your proud dad. Just say I'm...
Can I be proud?
No.
My daughter Emily reviews Guys and Dolls at the Muni.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX.
John Ponch Poncherello. Eric Estrada is coming into town this weekend. Greenville, Illinois, truth be told. So not just right across the river, a little bit of a drive, but it's for the 8th annual car show there on the square in Greenville, Illinois. And Eric Estrada is going to be signing some autographs. And I got pitched this, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to talk to Eric Estrada. So he's coming. I spoke with him a little bit yesterday, and he's excited to come on here. So that's coming up in 10 minutes. Meantime, my friend Kenny Wallace, he's like the most generous, loving guy and just a big fan of all things St. Louis. And he's been great to me. And, you know, he loves this city so much. And I said something to him a few months ago because every once in a while we're hanging out or we go to a baseball game or we see each other. I said, Cameron, my little brother from Big Brothers Big Sisters, when he just went to the Indy 500 a couple weeks ago, but he's into things like racing, and I thought it'd be a great opportunity for him to meet Kenny, and Kenny invited us over to see his cars and his shop. He's going out on the dirt tracks tomorrow night for a few nights, and I had a little chat with him.
We are with the legendary Kenny Wallace in his shop out here in Jefferson County, Missouri. How are you, Kenny?
I'm doing really good. I'm really happy that you're at my race shop.
Well, let's explain why, because I am in Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I talked to you about this a while ago. My little brother Cameron, who I'm guessing is not going to say anything because he's shy. Are you going to say anything? Yeah, there you go. There you go. He's shy. So I thought this would be a good experience to have him come out to the shop, and I've never been here. So it's a great opportunity for me to see things as well. And you were nice enough to invite us out here to, you know, let Cameron see what you do. And I've learned a lot today.
Well, you're a good man. And Cameron is a sweetheart. You know what's funny? You brought Cameron in, and he's already pretty tall. I told him he's going to be like Colton Pareko, you know. But anyway, I went to pick him up to put him in the race car thinking he needed to be picked up. He was like Spider-Man. He crawled up inside my race car. And so, yeah, he's going to be a great athlete. But really.
Yeah, he just went right in and took over. And that's the car. We should segue into this. You're about to take a trip and head off on a racing jaunt on the dirt this weekend. And that's the car that you're going to be driving.
Yes, we have two race cars, dirt cars. So, you know, I had my whole NASCAR career. I retired from NASCAR. And I'm no different. Remember old Chichi Rodriguez, the golfer? I'm on the seniors tour, man.
People used to say Chai Chai. Remember the old Chai Chai Rodriguez joke, right?
I enjoyed watching Chichi as a senior. You know, he would have fun. He'd make a shot, and then he'd pretend he'd put the, you know, his 8-iron as a sword, you know. So yes, that's kind of what this is about. This is I'm racing with 20, 30-year-olds old drivers. But this is very competitive what I do.
Does anybody call you grandpa?
No, they call me old man.
Okay, well, close enough.
They call me winner, though, when I'm in victory lane.
Isn't that a good feeling, I bet?
Yes, it is. But, now, what a great day you bring Cameron out here and showing him what I really do. And what's really cool is you get to see what I do.
It is good. I was telling Cameron about this because our friendship, I'm not a knowledgeable racing guy at all. And our friendship is based on, the Cardinals and just having fun and getting along. But we don't really talk racing a lot. It'd be like me if I would get together with Tony La Russa. I wouldn't talk about baseball with him. What am I going to add to that conversation, right? I can't help you with racing stuff. But you still do the racing. You're having fun with it. We have to talk a little bit about the Blues because you're a huge Cardinals fan, a huge Blues fan. What do you think going to Game 7? Just as an athlete in the mental aspect of this right now, it's tough on the fans. It's just nerve-wracking as all get out.
I was really troubled about 2 hours before Game 6. And the reason I was troubled is because, listen, I'm not bragging, but as you can tell, I'm a winner.
Yeah.
I'm a winner, okay? And when you win, you don't celebrate, you don't act like you've won until you finish the job. Listen, it was the great Dale Sr. that said, tell me what you've done. Don't tell me what you're going to do.
Yeah.
2 hours before Game 6, we were celebrating in the streets. Post-Dispatch accidentally leaked.
Yes.
What was going to...
Talked about that yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. I did not like these things. I'm a competitor. You know, I mean, you just don't do those things. And I thought, man, this is a recipe for a disaster.
Yeah. I kind of felt that way, too, only because not all of those things, but we did seem to be getting ahead of ourselves. Now, look, I don't know that the team did that. Boston is rough. But heading into this tomorrow night, you know, I think Bruce Cassidy, the coach of the Bruins, talked about this. There are distractions that they will have. The cup will be in the house, right? There's the pressure of winning before the home team. So hopefully some of that does not affect us tomorrow night.
Yeah, you're right. Now, you know, I don't think, you know, the team had anything to do with it. Man, there's just mojo. You know, somebody said to me one time, they said, Kenny Wallace, do you believe in superstition? I said, no, but I'm not going to test it.
Right. That's a good way. That's absolutely a good way to say it. So should we even talk about the Cardinals right now, Kenny?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, we've seen this so many times. You know, I love baseball so much, and I hear all the time, it's a funny game. You know, I'll hear that from the best. You know, baseball's a funny game. And what's going on right now with the Cardinals is absolutely unexplainable. I'm at loss for words for the first time in my baseball Cardinal life. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen us, you know, take 3 of 4 from the Brewers 2 months ago, sweep the Cubs a week ago, and lose all our games to the Reds.
Yeah.
It's just... And then, you know, you're like, man, we've got it going on. You know, we scored 10 runs, and then the next day can't score one run. And I get it all. I understand it all about pitching, but we cannot get anything going. And
in the past, I think when we've been floundering in the past few years, we've known that we just didn't have the talent level. But with this group, you think that the talent level should be there.
It's absolutely unbelievable. Goldie, Goldschmidt, Ozuna, Yadier Molina, Bader. I mean, you know, DeJong, we got – I mean, I wouldn't trade them for anybody. I truly wouldn't. The only thing I can say about our Cardinals is what I learned in 11, where you got players that they come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like there are players in our World Series runs that, you know, nobody really knew a lot. But, boy, Eckstein.
Yeah.
You know, here I am 5'11". I'm 5'11". When I met Eckstein, I looked down at him. What a great athlete, though. Like, just incredible. My point is this. When we won World Series, it was with probably the most unlikely group. In my
Certainly
opinion.
Certainly in 2011, that's true, yeah.
And now we have everybody and can't get it together.
I saw Derek Gould wrote about this morning in his Q&A, and, you know, I'd like to think, and the Blues are a good roadmap for this, that this team is far from done. They're only 5 out, which is kind of miraculous when you think about it, right. But there are going to be some moves to be made, and I think Mike Schilt's going to have to test out some of this talent that's in the system as well. So we'll see what happens. In the meantime, Kenny Wallace, thank you so much for hosting me and Cameron. Cameron, you still not going to say anything?
Let's go Blues.
There we go. Hey, that's Let's perfect. That's a great way to end. I took him to a Blues game last season. He loves the Blues. Kenny, great to see you, man. Have a great trip this weekend.
Thank you.
Cameron's a little shy, but he came through in the end with the Let's Go Blues. 3:30 at the Voice of St. Louis. Carol's got the news coming up next.
The Clock Radio wakes you with the weather forecast.
Thunderstorm problems here.
Your car leaves the driveway with the radio tuned for traffic.
Hampton to Big Bend, heavy south 170.
The voice from the speakers brings you closer to world, national, and local news.
Flood fighting efforts statewide.
The governor made his announcement.
And who won the big game?
Give us more, Chris Raby.
Blues beat the Bruins.
And as ordinary as the day may seem, we never take it for granted. Because every day, we do more than just news. We share the stories that affect your life. St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Man, it's so funky, that Chips theme song, right? Big car show this Saturday on the square, Greenville, Illinois, rain or shine, 9 a.m. until noon is the registration. They got awards at 3 p.m. And the celebrity guest this year is Eric Estrada. He was Frank Ponch Poncherello on Chips and did a lot more than that. And still, you see him in movies these days. Eric Estrada, welcome to KMOX. How are you?
I'm terrific. And I'm looking forward to this Saturday to meet everybody. It's going to be awesome. And I want people to know there's no charge for autographs or hugs. Or selfies. So please come up, say hey, and greet me, and let's enjoy the day.
You know, that's awesome, and I'm glad that you pointed that out. Even the hugs and the selfies are free.
Yeah, the hugs are mandatory.
Just don't do them like Joe Biden, though. You get into trouble in 2019.
No, we can't. No, I won't be sniffing hair.
Look, I'm honored and really thrilled to talk with you. And one of the reasons is when I found out you were coming into Greenville is in the late 1970s when I was watching this show. My brother passed away in 1996, and it was just one of his favorite shows. He was younger than me, and I just remember him giggling and laughing to your show, and so that was one of the memories that just came flooding back to me, and I had to share that with you.
Well, I appreciate that, because that is one of the things that, you know, when I was doing the show, my goal was to, I wanted to be a New York cop, and I changed my mind to be an actor, and then as an actor, I played a cop, and all I wanted to do was get my mother out of the projects and have her living the life she should have been living, because my dad was stuck on the needle, and he didn't work out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, well.
So I wanted to take care of my mom. And so the show allowed me to do that. But to find out years later, because you don't know it at the time. You're busy showing up at 6 in the morning, working to 9 at night, 80 hours a week on a show like that, because we were on the street all the time. We had to haul everything around and create these crashes and chases and everything. So we were mostly out on the street all the time on freeways. And canyons and dirt roads and all that. And then one day a week, we were in the studio to tidy out together to do all the interior shots of the hour. But to find out exactly like the story you just told me about your brother, see, it was warm, fuzzy times, 8 o'clock Sunday night, where people sat with their loved ones to watch the show, because it was a family hour type evening, and the show, people loved it, and I get a lot of that through the years later on. I hear all these wonderful stories. Oh, I watched you with my dad. He loved you. My mother had a crush on you. I was supposed to marry you when I was a kid, you know. When I grew up, I was supposed to marry you and all this wonderful stuff. And that's what the show did. It was 8 o'clock. We never drew our guns. It was about family. It was about respect for authority and camaraderie and just good guy stuff.
What were you doing as an actor? Because you were in a bunch of different roles and in movies before Chips came along. But tell the story of how that kind of got pitched. And, you know, and this is always one of those deals. You don't know if it's going to work. You don't know if it's going to resonate. And you certainly don't know it's going to resonate 40 years later.
No, you didn't. You know, my first movie was a movie called A Cross and a Switchblade, which I'm really proud of, with Pat Boone. Don Murray directed back in 69, and then New Centurions after that, and then Airport 75, and then Midway, and then a lot of independent stuff, and then episodic television, and then Chips came along, and I almost wasn't accepted by NBC for it, because I had played so many characters, stereotypical bad Latino guys, you know, with the gun, the knife, the brick, the pimp, the arsonist, the murderer, all this stuff.
Oh, interesting.
On Mannix, I was a heroin addict. On Hawaii 5-0, I shot a priest. and I elope with Shin Ho's daughter.
I don't remember that episode. Yeah. I'm sure I saw it, but I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was Hawaii, the original Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was Kojak. I was an arsonist. And Medical Center, I was an arrogant tennis player. So I played all these roles. And then when Chips came along, NBC said, you know what? This guy, we watch him every other week. He's on an episode, guest starring as a this, that. I don't think he could be a good guy. So the creative of the show, after going through 500 and some odd guys, narrows it down to five and then down to two between me and this other dude. And he decides, you know what? I know that Estrada is my punch. So what I want to do is have him screen test for the network. So he put me in the uniform on a bike and on the uniform and boom, visually I look like a good guy. So I got the role.
You're taking me through the nostalgia of the 70s, dropping Mannix and Medical Center and all those shows.
Man.
I know, right?
You were on all of them. Police Story, Police Woman, Joe Forrester. I mapped all that stuff out.
Oh,
Angie. I had to work, man. I wanted to get my mother out of the projects. I had to work.
Now I'm thinking about Angie Dickinson because you said Police Woman.
I did that one too. Yes, yeah. Angie, sweetheart.
So you look good on the bike, but you didn't know how to ride a motorcycle at the time, did you?
No, man. I grew up in Spanish Harlem. I rode the bus or the train. When I got the role, they just had a Scott Wilson Academy trainer, motorcycle instructor, come down from Sacramento from the Academy to run me through the paces, me and Larry. But Larry already knew how to ride. He had a couple of antique bikes. He was very good at it. And I just needed to get the basics and then, start crashing.
So did you end up owning a part of that show in the end?
I owned 50% of the net profits participation.
Was that pretty rare for that time period?
Well, you see, what they did back in those days, they would tell Daniel Boone. Remember Fess Park and Daniel Boone? I don't know. You might not. That was
That's a little before. I mean, I know the names, of course,
that's a little before your time.
Yeah. Well, I'm 55. I'm 54, so you got a little bit on me here.
Yeah. Well, look, back in those days, they would give people a percentage of the net profits participation, so you wouldn't take a bigger salary.
Right.
Okay? So you have a big piece of the pie down at the end of the road. The show goes into syndication. The show's over. You start calling, okay, where's my check? Because they would say, no, we're not in profit. What? So you'd say, okay, I'm going to audit you. They show you a different set of books, a nonprofit set of books. So you get the shaft. And I was at the gym, and I just acquired another 25% of net profits from Chips. And the fourth year, and I said to Robert Blake, Robert, because we all used to work out at the same gym at 5 o'clock in the morning. Everybody that had a show on TV would be there. All the guys, all the Clint Eastwood stunt cowboy guys were all there, and Carl Weathers was there, and all these guys would show up and work out. Ned Beatty, all these actors, and I was part of the group because I had my show, and I'd show up at Vince's gym, Vince Gironda, who was known as the Guru back in the day. This is before steroids and before health spas and all this other
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, right.
This was a box, a garage, sweat room, and it was all free weights. There was no machines, none of this elliptical stuff.
Right.
it was pure weights. So I tell Robert, I just got me another total of 25% of Chips. He says, Estrada, you're an AH, he says to me.
Yes.
I said, what? He says, yeah, you are. You know why? I said, why do you say that? He says, because I own 33 and a third of Beretta. I'd sell it to you for 10 cents. You're never going to see it. And then that weekend, James Gardner is on 60 Minutes talking about how he had to fight Universal Studios 11 years in court to get his net profits participation and ownership of the show that he produced and started.
Rockford Files?
Yes. So I said, oh, wow, that's not going to happen to me. I ain't going to let that happen. So once MGM sold to Golden West Broadcasters, which was owned by Gene Autry and then Time Warner, and now it's Columbia Warner, they all own it. So for the first run syndication of the show, a 10-year run. They sold for a total of $75 million first 10-year run syndication. I said, whoa, I got in the process of that.
I would so say,
So I get my lawyers. We go into MGM in the morning of filming. I'm in the middle of filming on stage three, and I said, my lawyer showed up, and I said, come on, let's go see the David Beagleman. Let's go see him. He's running the studio. And let's tell him that we want a quarterly payment installment contract right now because they already made their deal. And I walk in there, and he goes off on me. He says, you get back to work. You're holding up production. You got to wait for the show to be in syndication before we start paying people syndication, net profits, participation. I said, no, sir, because you guys are selling the studio right after this. We can go 11 years on chips, but you're only going to go six because your deal, sir, is six years of print episodes, but with Eric Estrada's punch. And that was my smoking gun. That was my smoking gun because they could have, once they made their deal, they could have dumped me and Larry and said, as a matter of fact, they did dump Larry after the fifth year. But they couldn't dump me because their deal, their buyers said, yeah, but Eric Estrada's got to be punched for the 6 years of print that we're buying. So I had them. I had them. I had my age. I had my edge,
Man, that is a crazy story, and it sort of reflects the nastiness of Hollywood certainly at the time. Look, I could go on forever. This is a great conversation, but I'm out of time, and you can see and meet Eric Estrada for free. There's no charge for the autographs coming up in Greenville, Illinois this weekend. They're going to hold this car show. It's the 8th annual car show, Rain or Shine, in Greenville, Illinois. Go see Ponch and the rest of the gang this weekend.
Please, Eric, come out and say hey, folks.
Yeah,
looking
it's great.
Looking forward to meeting you.
Great to have you on KMOX. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're a good guy. You take care, Mark. Thank you.
Take care, Eric. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Hey, it's Chris Raby. KMOX Sports is in Boston for Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Keep it locked right here on KMOX and KMOX.com for all the latest as the Blues try to hoist the cup for the first time in franchise history. KMOX Game 7 Stanley Cup Final coverage presented by the Missouri Lottery. Play it forward.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Sponsored this afternoon by my friends at the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. We haven't had a round robin of President Donald Trump soundbites lately. Let's fix that this afternoon on the topic of Joe Biden.
When a man has to mention my name 76 times in a speech, that means he's in trouble. Now, I have to tell you, he's a different guy. He looks different than he used to. He acts different than he used to. He's even slower than he used to be. So I don't know. But when he mentions my name that many times, I guess I should be complimented. No, I'd rather run against, I think, Biden than anybody. I think he's the weakest mentally. And I like running against people that are weak mentally. I think Joe is the weakest up here. The other ones have much more energy. I don't agree with their policies. But I think Joe is a man who is, I call him 1% Joe. Joe Biden thought that China was not a competitor of ours. Joe Biden is a dummy.
Well, there you have it. Joe Biden is a dummy. Man, this is going to be fun. It is going to be fun. Campaign season is here, off and running, in the summer of 2019, and we're still 18 months away. We have traffic at the top of the hour. Carol has all the top stories of the day. We'll report on the nail biter, the U.S. Women's World Cup came from today, which was like a touchdown and a field goal, I think, and a two-point conversion. We're coming back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.